Hi, I'm Dee Clayton, your host on The Debrief Show. Welcome. I'm really excited because this show's about bringing out the best in yourself, your teams, and your communications. And this conversation is something I've been waiting for a while, all about AI and EQ. We're joined by Maggie Sarfo, CEO of Mayors Consult. She's a keynote speaker, a thought leader in AI, and she's spoken on international conferences. She's done a TEDx talk on the future of AI in work, and she advises leaders about AI and how to roll it out responsibly. In this episode, we're going to jump right into how emotional intelligence and AI go hand in hand, how to overcome those AI monkeys, the fears and the worries and the concerns, and how to help motivate people as they are going through change and adopting AI, and how to harness the opportunity to balance machine intelligence with human wisdom. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us. And a special thank you to our special guest today, Maggie Sarfo from Mayors Consult, the CEO. Hi there, Maggie. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well, Dee. Thank you. And thanks for
brilliant. Love. Our pleasure, our pleasure. And hi to Will, as ever, our wonderful co-host. Hi, Will.
Good morning.
So what we're going to talk to... Whatever, whenever they're listening to this, who knows? We're going to talk about emotional intelligence and why it really matters in more than ever in AI adoption. Because emotional intelligence or EQ is often missing in AI adoption. I know, Maggie, before the show, we were chatting about this, weren't we? So there's also sometimes missing emotional barriers, intellectual barriers as to why they don't want to take on AI, people generally, or some people do and some people don't, or there's differences in speed adoption within the team. And then hopefully by the end of the show, you're going to give us some practical steps about what we can do about that as well. So without further ado, I think, Will, you're going to kick off with some questions for Maggie.
Yeah, please. I'm really excited about this one in particular. So, Maggie, thanks for joining us. And just to start off for the audience, can you give us a brief overview of how you ended up being so focused on and pivotal in this area of technology and AI in terms of leadership?
Thank you, Will. So I was working with a company called Gartner, which is a global analyst firm for technology. So this is a firm that really advises CIOs and, you know, other smaller businesses around technologies to buy. So that equipped me with my knowledge of, you know, different types of technologies, including AI. And then, yeah, back in 2016, I set up my business and I wanted to carry on doing what I do best in terms of enabling tech companies to go to market effectively and to expand and grow. And then I, because of this interest in technologies, I started speaking in tech conferences, and in 2019, I spoke at a tech summit in London where I talked about AI and the impact on growth, especially for sales and marketing teams. And it's just gone on from there, really. I loved it, and I think people enjoy it as well. So,
well, I think you're being a little bit humble there, because in 2019, you were talking about AI as an expert, as a keynote speaker. And yet AI feels like, to a lot of people, something that's just suddenly arrived, bashed on our front door, or even kicked it down. So can you tell us a little bit about that? You did a TED talk, I think it was a couple of years ago, on this subject. So tell us a bit about that experience.
Yeah. So based off that summit talk keynote in 2019, you know, I was approached to do a TED talk in 2022. And this was for a younger audience rather than a kind of a mature business audience. And this was A-level students and younger adults who were stepping into the work world. And yeah, so they approached me to expand on that in terms of what that means for them going into the workplace, you know, what type of roles are available, but also what are employers thinking with regards to AI in the future. So yeah, so I combined the future of growth, AI, and opportunities for the future. And I couldn't have asked for a better audience. It was surreal, really, to be able to do that, plant these seeds in the minds of these younger people.
Amazing.
Fantastic. So, I mean, you've already got our heartstrings when you talk about emotional intelligence, Will and I. That, you know, that's our passion, really, is helping people develop that, helping people to personally develop. But why for other people who aren't already with you 100% behind this, why is emotional intelligence so important? And maybe explain what it is, but why is it so important to AI adoption?
Mm-hmm. So just to set the context for our conversation, we're talking about emotional intelligence in terms of our ability to recognize our own emotions, manage our own emotions and the emotions of others, so we can achieve better results in our environments, whether this is at home or especially at work as well, including diffusing conflicts and moving forward in confidence. So why is EQ important? Why is emotional intelligence important? Well, it's important in the sense that, you know, we work with humans, and also if we as humans are creating machines and technologies that can develop and grow on their own, then it's really important that we tap into our own human intelligence and our human wisdom and develop at that level so we can combine effectively with these machines so they can bring, you know, to our businesses what we'd like them, what they were originally created for. The good thing about emotional intelligence is that it's innate within us. And so unlike IQ, which is intellectual intelligence, where you have, you know, if you don't have a very high IQ, you can't develop it too much. With EQ, is innate within us, and we all have the capacity to just tap into that and bring it to the fore a bit more.
And we can grow it and develop it as well, right? So, I mean, we have it innately, and we can learn to develop it more as well, can't we?
Absolutely. So it's skills like empathy, so our ability to really be able to hear, like listen to what someone is saying, you know, put ourselves in their shoes and see it from their perspective, so we can come up with a decision that helps us move together in the direction we want, is really important. And these are skills that we have them innately, and we can really develop them very quickly.
And we're always talking about getting into the, well, you know, when we're talking about presentations, we're talking about getting into the audience's shoes. I feel that people, a lot of people fear AI, some extent. I do, I think, actually. But, you know, if you're running a big organization, do you feel that there's a lot of fear, too much fear? What's your kind of view on that?
There is fear. I mean, AI is the fastest technology. I've seen so many technologies, you know, through the years, like the data and the cloud and all of those. But AI happens to be the one that is moving at such a fast pace. And you know, I think there is quite a lot of fear around it, because not just because of the change that it's bringing, but because of the fast pace of it all. But I think we need to just look at it as a change. And as savvy business leaders and business owners, we know that change is always inevitable, whether it's externally with it coming from outside organizations or internally brewing within organizations. And AI tends to be both. So there is the fear. But with all fear, if we're able to move forward with it and see what we need to do, is going to really, you know, pay off better. And just like, you know, when you look at the change ladder, you know, the laggards, those who don't want to adapt, are those who are going to pay up and, you know, pay the hard price for it in the long run if they don't. So do your best. But, you know, you're not the only one who's afraid. It's just happening everywhere.
Yeah. But I think what you're saying about it being so quick is the ladder's really short, though. So whereas before you had time to be a slug.
Go through the processes, yes.
Yeah, like by the time, even by the time maybe, so normally maybe I'm in an early adopter-ish or maybe just after an early adopter. But in AI, that makes me like really super slow, I would say, because, it, you know, there's so many people traveling so fast. So I think that people are going to have to speed up in there, get over their fear more quickly. If they've got AI monkeys, Will, we talk about monkey mindsets, being scared of stuff. People need to overcome their AI monkeys even more quickly than any other monkeys, because otherwise they really will get left behind. Do you see this happening in different regions? Do you think the UK, we're based in the UK largely, so do you think UK businesses are further behind? I mean, I would say further ahead, maybe, further behind?
It depends, and it varies from industry to industry, but let's look at countries. So, for instance, a country like the US is faster in adopting AI than a country like the UK. You know, but then it could differ from the industries as well. It's also a cultural thing. Like, you know, even if you look at the world of investment, you know, we in the UK are more cautious investors, whereas, you know, say a country like the US is very fast and just throwing money at something, hoping that it will work, right? We also are seeing in the world of AI how, you know, people and companies in, say, what we might say the less developed countries, like the third and second world countries, are adopting it faster. And the reason why they're doing it is because it's enabling them to connect on a wider scale, you know. And to be honest, like, you know, some of the conversations we had earlier is because, you know, they might not have too much to protect, so they're making the most of the opportunity. Whereas if you have an organization that is very much ingrained and is working, you don't want to necessarily break it. And so depending on whether you are a smaller company and then the cultural context of your geographical location, it will depend. It will really dictate to some extent how well you're adopting AI.
I'm thinking of kind of blockbusters. You know, they were, when I was younger, that was the thing to do on a Friday night and a Saturday night. You'd go to Blockbusters and choose a video, go to a shop and choose a video and carry it home and get charged lots of late fees if it was late. You know, when people listening to this probably don't even know what Blockbusters is and how to even, you know, what I'm even talking about. And that's just so quickly got overtaken by things like Netflix. And that's, we think that's quick, but in a world, it'd be interesting to look at some sort of timescale, wouldn't it? And AI would be like a microsecond compared to that change.
Could be.
Yeah. And if we can think about adoption, Netflix tried to sell their company to Blockbuster and were laughed out of the building at a tiny, tiny price. And then a few years later, Blockbusters were no more. So it's about that opportunity thing. Like you said about the less developed countries, they see the opportunity and they think, well, let's go for this. We're playing catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, look at Netflix now. They got acquired by Sky in a big way. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just sometimes I wonder if some of the fear is like overwhelmed. You're almost paralyzed because you can see how big it is, and then you can have paralysis, not really know where to start. So later on in the show, we'll ask you about some smaller starting steps so that if people feel a bit overwhelmed, you could maybe suggest a couple of tiny steps that people can start to do. Because once you start on a journey, it actually gets easier. So it's not that we're saying by the end of the show, you've got to have AI all sorted in your business, but some tiny steps. Just one more thing before before we'll ask some more questions. I was just going to ask about some people I've spoken to when I've suggested stuff around, well, why don't you just do this with AI and ask them at this, that, and the other. They say, I'm not allowed to use chat in my business. Now, that's fair enough if somebody's got, you know, an internal version, and I understand there's sort of confidential issues, but you can use something like chat without saying confidential stuff. You can use it, you know. So I'm worried that companies that just have a blanket of no AI is allowed here, I worry that not only are they falling behind, but they're suggesting that AI is bad. You know, it's so what's your, do you have any views on that? What are your views on that sort of thing?
I think, again, it comes back to then being able to understand why we're saying no AI. With the way the world is going, no AI is definitely not the way forward. But it's important for leaders to really look at what with AI would not be suitable for their particular environment, and make sure that they have the right policies in place and do some workshops to educate the teams. And then as a result, introduce the levels of AI that will help the teams to be more efficient, because the future is a combination of human and AI working together to really achieve what we want to achieve.
Okay, so I can hear a lot there about risk, not just fear. So the risk of going too fast, the risk of going too slow, the risk of avoiding it altogether. And I suppose that that balancing act has to be in the forefront of a business's minds. So are there industries where you think this is a quick win, that just to bring in a small part of AI to help with a function would be a really quick win without any risk whatsoever? Are there a kind of industry examples you can think of that might make the audience feel a little less nervous about taking that first step?
So should I talk about the hospitality one?
Yeah, you were talking about that earlier. That was really interesting.
Yeah. So for instance, you know, with the world of customer service, let's look at a general hotel booking process where we say, you know, you book, you know, your stay, and if you cancel a week before, you are okay, you'd be refunded. And, you know, if you leave it to maybe 7 days before or 3 days before, then you pay this much of it. You forfeit part of your funds, basically. So what you could do is really look at how you can combine AI and train AI to really look at some of these inquiries coming through with regards to booking cancellations. So let's look at a situation where we can combine both, or a quick win. So the AI can really automate and deal with, you know, the inquiries coming in, the cancellations, the refunds, and things like that. But you could have a scenario where someone is cancelling 2 days before they are meant to come and stay, but the reason they're giving is that, you know, they've lost a loved one, you know, and because of that, they're not able to travel in a couple of days. This is where, if you have trained the AI and the human doing this role, they work in tandem with each other. So they, because there is an element of deeper empathy in this particular inquiry, they will pass it on to the human. Or you might say to the AI, you can build into the AI where there is this kind of situation happening, the overriding decision has to be a human one, in which case the human will look into it, and instead of just doing an automated response and dealing with the inquiry, they will speak to the person and say, oh, we're sorry, this has happened, blah, blah, blah. This is what we could do for you. And this is great for the brand as well in the long run.
That sounds amazing. So AI differentiated between what is an AI challenge and what is actually a human challenge within that. Perfect. Thank you. You've developed five pillars. Now, Dee and I love breaking things down into more sensible and bite-sized chunks. So specifically about AI-driven EQ leadership. So can you talk us through a couple of those that would really help our audience to get to grips with, well, how do I start on this journey? Seems quite big at the moment.
Yeah. So talking about the lead from the leader's perspective, because it comes from the leaders before it goes into the rest of the organization. So I would say, as a leader, one of the pillars that I talk about is our own self-awareness. So being able to understand ourselves, you know, within this AI environment, understand, say, what are our fears? What are our apprehensions? You know, what are we very keen to protect within the existing organization? And quite rightly so, right? So looking at what the barriers are, what our fears are, and looking at whether they are really true. And if so, what can we do to really, you know, remove those fears? Well, find solutions to them, I would say. So the self-awareness of the leader's resistance to AI adoption is important, as well as looking at their appetite. Yes, there are some people who may kind of jump the gun a bit too quickly because it's AI and it's a buzzword and everyone is using it. I think, you know, being in the middle where you're both being cautious as well as understanding your own barriers and fears and stuff will be really important. So that's step one, the leader's own self-awareness of the scenario. And then the second that I want to talk about is empathy. So as you recognize yours as a leader and proceed to deal with it. And there are self-assessment tools that can help you see the maturity level for the business or the organization from an AI perspective. And it, you know, once you've spent a few moments to answer those questions, it will give you some initial steps that you can take in terms of starting your journey or moving on with your journey if you've started already. The second one is empathy. And so understanding where your team is, where their fears are. For instance, do they think they're going to lose their jobs via the introduction of AI? Do they think they are going to be out of date? You know, and if so, what can you do to support them? Are you going to be holding things like workshops to upskill them, to upgrade them, to really look at the new skills that will be required in the environment with the introduction of AI and make sure that they are much equipped to then work in balance with AI? And this is where the emotional intelligence training could also come in as well. So those are the two. So the leader's self-awareness and then empathy in relation to the team's concerns and how to address those so you can all be on the same page. And then from there, you can move forward.
This is where I love, it's a beautiful irony in AI that you can ask AI about why I might fear adopting AI into my business or why my team might have an adverse reaction to us introducing AI to their department, and it will give you something. It's just another opinion.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it will give you something. And then you apply it to your context and just ask yourself, is this true? Actually, if I'm honest, it's true. Oh, is this true? Oh, well, this doesn't apply to my industry too much. Maybe I'll go back and ask, what about this industry? You know, you can just gain the most out of it.
Amazing. It strikes me that it fits really nicely into the three categories of catching your monkeys that we talk about. Yeah. You can catch your AI monkeys. There's the three steps to taming your monkeys, which is catch, connect, and challenge. So what we're talking here is about catching your AI monkeys, i.e. finding out what they are, you know, naming them. I'm scared because I might lose my job, or I'm scared because I'm too stupid to learn new tricks, or, you know, too old, or whatever your monkey is there. Then connecting with them, like finding out why you believe that. Is that all true, half true? What we call them, red, amber, and green monkeys. And then challenging those monkeys. Like you said, you could find an industry that's already done it. It might be true, you know, it is scary, but you can do this to mitigate that risk. So it falls along those three steps nicely, doesn't it? But I know you said about losing jobs, and people might be scared of losing jobs. I guess with that customer service example, not that particular customer, but for example, lots of when you hear about successful companies who have adopted AI, they say, oh, you know, we don't have customer service team anymore. We've taken AI on. So some of the individual teams, or all of us, have a justified fear maybe that our jobs won't. Mm-hmm. Without going into too much detail, because it's still big, you know, we want to know about this big picture, but is that a justified fear that we're all going to be watching Netflix for the rest of our lives while AI does our job for us? How's that going to work?
You know, and again, this is where AI comes into play, EQ comes into play in the conversation. The best leaders are those who are going to understand the importance of balance and value creation for AI within the business. So AI only is not the answer. The best leaders are those who are going to combine the human wisdom with the machine intelligence, and that will give them what they're looking for in terms of bottom line profits, but also things like the biggest brand awareness in the marketplace, because at the end of the day, people are choosing what they want to be doing, you know, all the types of organizations they want to be working with. And if you're seen to be one that upskills them, that encourage them to bring their best to the table, then they will choose to come and work with you. So yes, AI is definitely not the answer to the problem. A combination of using AI and the emotional intelligence is what will bring the results we're really looking for.
Which is why we're focusing in on that so much, isn't it? How you can be ready then, ready to take the next step. What would you suggest people do?
I would say, you know, asking yourself, what is the best use case for AI in your particular industry? So, you know, why don't we go to, you know, whatever our generative AI. So generative AI is the types of AI like ChatGPT or Claude or Microsoft Copilot. So go and ask the AI, what is one best use case of AI in your industry. So maybe it's manufacturing, maybe it's food and drink, maybe it's hospitality. So go and ask AI that question, see what you find. And you know, I think that will give you an eye-opening conversation to start that journey or to carry on with where you are.
That's amazing, yeah. And you were talking about this as well, Will. Anything else to add on that kind of action for people to take without them feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah, I mean, if people are feeling overwhelmed with being behind the wave, or maybe they haven't even got their surfboard out of the garage yet, are there forums in which they can address this? Are there podcasts people can tap into? Because I know often it's quite difficult to ask questions that you think you're going to get an answer about that makes you feel stupid. So how to access this information in an easy format to start?
Yeah, I think in this new world of fast-paced AI, no question is ever stupid. Personally, what I have done to, you know, upgrade my skills on AI is the Small Business Britain is a forum. It's an organization that does a lot of training for businesses, and I have been using them to upskill myself with regards to AI, whether it's for, you know, generating ideas or for looking at business in different aspects of the business, rather whether this is operations, sales, marketing, all those kind of things. So that could be a good forum for people to explore. They do webinars and kind of sometimes a 6-week training. You don't have to attend those if you can't, but you can always kind of catch the replays as well. And that has been very useful personally to me.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Connecting with you and following you on LinkedIn would probably be a handy tip as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do my best to share my insights as I discover them. We are all in this together.
Fantastic. And would you be happy if people ask questions on this thread for the show? Maggie's already said she'd be more than happy to answer the questions. And I guess they can just ask you some questions in LinkedIn, because you just said there's no such thing as a stupid question. So they could just drop your message and whatever. So we'll share all of your information in the show notes, which you can find on the newsletter. We're going to say goodbye. I'm going to say thank you so much to my co-host, Will.
Welcome.
Thank you, Will. And a special thank you to Maggie for joining us today and sharing all of your insights. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dee and Will. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, everyone.
Thank you, Maggie, and thank you for listening. I want to ask you, what was most important to you about the conversation today? Was it around the ideas that leaders need to improve their own self-awareness first before they start doing stuff with their teams? Was it the concept around empathy being so important for success? Or was it the idea of starting small and to continue to keep learning from there? The show was packed with ideas that you can adapt and use right now in your business. So I hope you've enjoyed today's show. And please do follow, rate and review us. And if you've enjoyed the show, then share it with friends, colleagues or anyone else you think may find it helpful. Wherever you're listening, whether that's on YouTube, you're watching us, whether you're on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, thank you for being part of our community. We really appreciate you. And that's your debrief for now. See you next time.